Lord, we ask that you would, by the power of your Spirit, help us to hear your word and not ours. Follow your ways and not ours. And to learn the joy of the gospel truth of giving and receiving. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus this morning. I read a different translation than the one that's in your pew Bibles, but that words the entering into the partnership of giving and receiving. That is at the heart of the Christian life of discipleship, the heart of the gospel. For Paul previously said that at the beginning of the gospel, which he doesn't mean, as it were, the ascension of Jesus to heaven or something like that, but the point at which the gospel began to unfold in the lives of those to whom he was ministering and preaching. And that when the gospel begins to become alive, that translates into a life of a partnership of giving and receiving. Now, what Paul could have done in this particular text is just talk about what it means to give, what talks about what it means to receive, and just kind of give instructions for how that's to play out in the variety of ways in which believers are to interact with one another. But you notice that twice he talks about the reality that he doesn't need anything. Now, you might think that's kind of a weird way to talk, right? It's like opening a gift at Christmas and saying, "Thank you so much for this gift, but I really didn't need it." That would be such a rude thing to say to the person who's giving you a gift out of their goodwill, right? You would just say thank you and move on. Why does Paul do this? Why does he want to describe the fact that first he doesn't need anything? And again, later on in the passage, not that he's seeking a gift. It's because he's laying the groundwork for what the heart of the gospel is about, that the partnership of giving and receiving cannot be a partnership of demand and expectation. Usually the giving and receiving, in terms of the equation, is, okay, I've been given this much. I should respond, therefore, in like kind with this much. And then quite often when you have that kind of scenario, if someone has given a certain gift out of their own goodwill as well as their own abundance, and then they feel like they've not been reciprocated properly, even the giver can begin to be disappointed, angry, frustrated. And those kinds of realities shouldn't be present within the community of faith. Because Paul describes a reality in which, you know what, there are times when I know what it means to be really low. He uses the word brought low. We all, I'm sure, at times have experienced this very reality, that the very moments where we really would like to be giving in abundance, we have no resources at all. And I don't mean that specifically financially, but resources in terms of even non-monetary gifts, non-monetary opportunities for hospitality, time, or health is prohibiting an ability to be just overabundantly generous. And there's also times when he says that there's plenty, when I can just give. And Paul is wanting to let the Philippians know here, he's giving a theological truth, is that when you enter into the partnership of giving and receiving in light of what Christ has done, you don't take score. And you don't say, look how much I've given, therefore I should be given this in return. Paul is saying, listen, I have learned the reality of what means to be content in all that Christ has to give. That whether I'm in the lowest point of my life, or whether I'm abounding in generosity, both of those realities are realities in which I could be discontent. I could be in a time of struggle, very discontent. Many with plenty, live in discontent. I maybe want something more. Paul says, I've learned to be content, which allows him in that moment to receive any gift that comes his way. It's not, oh, it's about time, kind of a gift, but wow, I have all that I need, and now I've been given even more. Paul doesn't need anything. He doesn't play a victim card. With Christ, he has all that he needs. He can do all things with Christ who strengthens him. If no one has the opportunity, he's talking about the Philippians. They wanted to give, but they were prevented from doing so. We don't know what that means precisely, whether it was related to the ability to get to Paul, just travel arrangements, or in fact, they didn't have the resources at the time. It doesn't matter. Their hearts were wanting to, and Paul said, it's okay, but now you've had that opportunity. And though Paul talks about not needing anything, don't miss the point here. He's grateful for what he's been given, and he names it. You sent me help, he says, for my needs once and again. You've joined me in the ministry of giving and receiving. You have revived your concern for me. He's thankful for what he's been given. He acknowledges the gift. In fact, he says, I am well supplied now because of what Epaphroditus sent through you to me, which is now a sacrifice acceptable and a pleasing to God. He's thankful for what he's been given. And again, it starts from that ground level floor of what the gospel is all about, is there can be no demand. There can be no expectation. There can be no one-upmanship here. This is simply no strings attached, the partnership of giving and receiving. It's no good to receive something and disparage the giver. He doesn't do that here. He's thankful for what he has received. Which is why that even though he doesn't need anything, but he's been given something that could really be useful for him in his mission work. This is what the gospel heart is all about. For at the beginning of the gospel, the place at which the gospel is unfolding in the lives of those to whom he's serving, giving and receiving in partnership is what you see happening. Where there is the gospel going out in power, there is giving and there is receiving. And those two are always kept in proper context, because there are those who truly understand what it means to properly receive something with gratitude. And when they do so, they are often moved to be givers themselves. And there are givers in times of need, and there are givers in times of plenty. There are givers when nothing is going right, and there are givers when everything seems to be smooth sailing. But there are often givers who just want to give out of being praised. And that does no good to the gospel work. And we all know what it means to just be receivers. On the receiving end, always thinking, I just haven't been given enough. Content in nothing, and constantly frustrated within. Paul talks about something way different. What we don't know, though, is why Paul says, you're the only church who joined me in this. You notice that? The only church who entered into partnership with me from Macedonia, the partnership of giving and receiving. We don't know if that was contractual, if he was wanting to pick a particular church to be his mission support center, which is possible. Or it could be a sign of his disappointment that there were other churches, in fact, where the gospel was beginning to take hold, who hadn't got the concept yet of what it means to be givers and receivers. Where every gift given and where every gift received is taken at face value at the generosity of those who are giving. We don't know. But if it is a point at which you say, no one joined me in it, then what he's implicitly saying is that there are and can be many churches that miss the point. Where giving becomes a source of pride or one-upmanship, where receiving becomes a demand, where the people in the pews are all saying, have I received enough? If I haven't received enough, I'm moving on. Pride can take hold in any kind of act. And implicitly, therefore, this would be a warning that Paul wants the Philippian church, in the midst of their abundant gift to the Philippians, or to Paul, to always keep in mind that the gift that you give is not because someone in Christ needs anything more than Christ. But that partnership of giving and receiving is at the heart of the gospel, where everything is done out of the abundance of gratitude. Gratitude for what he's done for us and the people he's put around us. And so we acknowledge here today that for us that have faith in Christ, it is important for us always to remember that at the heart of what we believe, it's not Christ and something more that we need. The gospel ground floor level is Christ, and Christ alone is our hope, our salvation, and our joy. We need to be putting into practice daily through prayer or through Bible study or even with a personal struggle of faith to learn what Paul says he has learned, to be content in every circumstance. Because whether it's times of low struggle or abounding generosity, highs, lows, everything in between, those are all moments in which discontent can raise its ugly head. We are to learn to be content with Christ and with Christ alone, and to really believe this verse, to have it emblazoned in our minds that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. That's not pie in the sky, chicken soup for the soul proverb. It's really the truth. We can do no things without him, and we can do all things with him. But the joy is multiplied when we say that Christ now allows us to participate in a partnership with him of giving and receiving, and that should give us great joy. There's no strings attached involved in doing that, but we need to be people who not only receive but who give. And it's appropriate for us at times throughout our year to give thanks to the Lord for the way in which he has used our church to give, to be givers as we have received. And even in a small church in a small town, kingdom work can be done in surprising ways. In terms of giving to our church and the way in which we have been expanding our own mission, our own strategies along the way, we finished this last year in a remarkable way, allowing us to take some risks by putting some funds after the year was over into a reserve fund that we had depleted to buy the property next door. It was really a great outpouring of resources. We've expanded the youth ministries by adding extra workers to help with our growing kids in that regard. We have participated in, I want to say again, is with youth, on top of the budget, the people giving to Zephyr Point trip and a variety of things, people will just have an outpouring of support for things like VBS and for our youth, on top of everything that's going on in the midst of the church. We have the Deacon Fund, and they have been faithfully serving on the Salvation Army project as well as others, and right now there's been such an outpouring of support to the deacons that we have the ability to help quite a number of people who are in need. I see an outpouring of support for meals to those going through difficult times, the way in which we have been giving of our time and our resources to those struggling in the midst of physical pain, and those who have had hospital visits, and people are rushing to sign up to give meals to those who are in need. I think of Zimbabwe, the previous few years in which we supported a starving village. There, Gwendingwe, we had over $20,000 given on top of our own mission support and given for that village in Zimbabwe. And we want to also announce this morning that with regard to Andy going to Boracay in the Philippines, he had a target goal of a little over $20,000 a year to go, and was going to spread the net pretty widely. And our own church has given over three-quarters of that to the tune of the next 2 years, committing themselves to over $34,000 to go to Boracay, which means that we're buying his ticket now, and he gets to go. And you could go on and on and on the ways in which people have been giving and thinking of what it means to help those who are in need across the globe, and giving in ways that, when you think about it, when you give an investment to Gwendingwe in Zimbabwe, when you give an investment to kids in Boracay, when you give an investment to Salvation Army downtown, when you give an investment to the expansion of our youth programs here so that we can have an impact on their lives as they face an increasingly difficult world, and when you give to the impact of this church and the way in which it tries to support the learning of the scripture, the following of Jesus Christ, when you think of all of those things, you never really get a benefit back in like kind. It's not as if you can pad the portfolio that way. It's not as if you're going to get lots of cards coming back even from third world countries. It's really an extension of giving, knowing that you're praying it makes an impact in a kingdom way that you'll likely never get to see unless we receive an email or something to that effect. It's literally an act of faith. To believe in the call of God, to partner in the giving and receiving, not because we need anything, not because the world needs anything with regard to anything more than Christ, but it is an extension of our faith to the extent that we offer them through this giving and receiving the only thing that they need. The glory of God revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ that can, it has, it will continue to change people's lives. And so we say this morning here at Escalon Presbyterian Church, for all of your support, for all of your giving, of your time, of your talents, and of your treasures, that Christ still is the only thing that you need. But we are thankful, your session is thankful, for the way in which you are giving and receiving, not asking for anything back, but doing so because you believe you are participating in the partnership of the gospel. We want you to know, though, that according to the scriptures, that despite everything that we do here, one thing is true. Our God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. He will. He has. Therefore, we say to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for inviting us into this partnership of giving and receiving. Help us to keep it in nuance. Where we have been receivers, help move us to give. Where we have been givers demanding something in return, help us to give freely. And may we, though, be motivated by the gratitude of all that you've given us. Teach us to be content. To be content in all that Christ has in store for us. But teach us to be true partners in this giving and receiving, knowing that when following Christ, all our needs will be met. Continue to use all that we give for the sake of your glory. May it bear fruit that we may never see, from Zimbabwe to the Philippines, from Africa to South America, South Modesto, to the communities in which we live and serve. You bear the fruit, Lord. Thank you for inviting us on the journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.